Matthew 12:32.
Yep.
Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come.
Right. Apparently, the use of the word there is it's a different Greek word. It's aeon. Aeon. It stands for a period of time. Okay, it's a period of time, as opposed to cosmos, which obviously stood for something, the system that we talked about. Okay, Matthew 24:3.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world, the age?
That means age. Age. And then Romans 12:2.
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So my understanding is that the word world there, be not conformed to this age. It could also be this whole period of time.
Oftentimes the world, when we use the word age, it's talking about a dispensation or administration. So when it's talking about this present evil age, it's talking about the way this present system administrates apart from God. I think that's the way we can look at it, and I think it's helpful to see that we're not of that administration. We have another administration, and we take our orders, we take our cue, we take our... were to be submitted and conformed and transformed to that administration, not to the administration of this present evil age. I think that's helpful.
Very helpful. Then the last category is the inhabited earth. Apparently, oikoumene is a Greek word that's used. And the scriptures are just a couple of them because time is running out for us. Matthew 24:14. Acts 17:31, and the last is Romans 10:18. So someone can read Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. If you have it, you can read it.
And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Then Acts 17:31.
Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given us assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead.
And then Romans 10:18. Romans 10:18.
But I ask, did they not hear? Or, of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world.
So, again, that last category speaks of the inhabited earth. So, again, let me repeat. So, there are five different categories. The physical earth, the world of mankind, the system, that's the system we're really going to focus on this week, the system, and age, period of time, and finally, the inhabited earth. And as we read through that, you will notice that we can look at the position of, if I were to ask you, what is the position of the believer in relation to the world system? I think we've sort of covered that as we went through it. The position of the believer in light of this world. And then finally, the practice. How, knowing our position, what should our practice be in relation to this world? To be honest with you, that's where the challenge is. Let's be very honest with ourselves. The challenge is one thing to know what we've just gone through. It's one thing to know that this world system started back in Genesis chapter 4 and the different Greek words that are used. But it's a totally different thing to live it. Live in relation to the world in which we live as a Christian. Maybe for the next few minutes, because time is virtually gone. Anyone wants to maybe make some comments about that? It's the last category. How are we to live in relation to this world, the system that we actually are, that we're, you know, we're in it but not of it. What does that mean to be in it and not of it?
I'll ask a question to that question. Hopefully the answer to the question will help us get to the answer to your question. One of the things that, you know, our brother Tim had mentioned was that worldliness is not just the things that I do, but it's fundamentally an attitude. So it's an attitude, but it also manifests itself in the places that I go, also manifests itself in the words that come out of my mouth, the way that I dress. Also, I think one of the things I would also want to throw in there, it may be helpful for us to identify those areas where worldliness can manifest itself. One of the things that I was thinking about is in the way that I make decisions, right? So if someone steps on my toe at work, I can either go this way or I can go this way. I can go the worldly way, which would be justified by the way in which people do things, or I can go the other way, which would be that I think as we identify those areas where worldliness manifests itself, where I can either go left or right, it may help us identify what it really means to be in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna pick that up because I think that the verse that we read in James is helpful to that end, because it says very strong language: adulterer and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Where did that come from? Boom, there it is. I mean, that's pretty strong. But just prior to that, when we take it in its context, it's very interesting because it underlines the very thing you just said. Where if we back up, it says, where do wars and fights come from? That's the context of don't be a friend of the world. Where do wars and fights come from? He says, do they not come from your desires for pleasure? And I think that takes us to tomorrow, to the ideology of the world, wanting to satisfy the pleasures. And then he says, that war in your members. That whole concept. You lust and don't have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. And then he talks about you ask and you ask, you don't receive because you ask amiss. But then this statement of friendship with the world. And I would like to suggest to us that there's three stages of worldliness. It begins with friendship with the world. Then the next thing is when I'm a friend of the world, I become spotted by the world. And the next thing you know, I'm conformed to the world. I'm just like the world, and the world looks at me, and they can't tell me apart from them. And to me, that's the challenge where we're at today, is it begins with friendship. It begins with what we're going to cover tomorrow, the ideology of the world, their mindset coming into my mindset.
What verse in James was that?
It was 1 through 4, really, of chapter 4.